The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network.
All right, good evening. I'm Scott Ellsworth. I'll be your host tonight. We have a special guest, a good friend of mine for the past 10-plus years, Robert Mohan. He's the Executive Director of the Real Estate Investors of Nashville. And he is here to talk about REAs, Real Estate Investors Associations, and how people who are in those groups don't really use their full potential and what the successful ones do differently. Welcome, Robert.
Welcome, Scott. Glad to be here.
All right. Let's just get to it. We got a lot to cover and a very short amount of time. When you hear someone say, you know, I tried REA and it didn't work, what do you immediately suspect they're doing wrong?
Having been around real estate investor associations for more than 20 years, I've seen this more than once. And it's the people who show up, find a seat, and then now they all get on their phone and they just don't engage. You can't do that. That's not how REAs work. REAs are a community of people who all are trying to reach their own individual goals, but we have something in common. We want success in our particular niche, and it's great being part of a brotherhood or sisterhood, a community.
Right.
And if you don't engage on that, you completely miss out, and it's a whole lot harder. So it's not a classroom when you come to one of these meetings, or even if it is a class, it's not just a class. Engage with the people around you. Engage with the instructor. Engage with whoever's giving the presentation, or maybe it's a panel. Don't just show up, find a seat, and get on your phone or be to yourself. Engage.
What behaviors tell you that someone is treating REA just like a classroom instead of an actual business building tool?
Yeah, come in, sit down, stay quiet. Remember what we were trained from our very earliest years. You just come in and take your place. Don't cause any trouble. Stay quiet. And then with these folks, I typically have seen them come in, sit, stay quiet, but don't meet anybody, and then leave before or right at the end of the meeting. It definitely sends that behavior, definitely sends a message to anyone around them that they don't want to engage. They don't want to be bothered. Maybe they're busy. They've got to be somewhere else. We answer excuses about, I don't know why they left early. But the point is they're now gone and they lost that opportunity to hear follow-on questions maybe that came after the meeting or have meaningful conversation in the hallway. Think about the conferences we go to. Some of the best learning happens in the hallway around the meeting. There's the formal meeting, and then there's the informal meeting, the meeting after the meeting, the meeting before the meeting. So, again, engage. Don't just come in, sit down, stay quiet.
Great. So
engage with the group.
So let's say I'm a serious investor. What do I do before walking into that monthly meeting?
The best advice would be to make a plan. Think about what kind of people do you need to meet? What kind of tools, or maybe it is people that you need to meet for your business right now? Is it a vendor you need? Is it you have questions about a particular strategy and you need to find someone who has been further down that path? Are you willing to offer help to others who need help? All of that says, do you have an open mind? That would be what I would tell you, is come in with a plan and an open mind and think about, what do I need to be able to say about this couple of 2, 3, 4 hours that I've just spent? At the end of the night, what do I really want to say I've accomplished? And at least have some idea.
So I'm going to come there. I'm going to meet people. How many meaningful conversations should really someone aim to have at a meeting?
3. Now, when we talked ahead of time, I think you were a little bit shocked. Like, really, you're only going to say the word 3? Well, okay, the point is have some kind of a goal, which is the last question. If you're not sure, if you're new, just 3. Start small. Easy. And if you're scared of 3, maybe you're very much an introvert, hey, try for 2. Don't just do 1, because you're going to come in and see either a greeter or someone at a check-in table. Okay, make it somebody else too. It's like anything you do. You need reps, repetitions. If you're going to do exercise, you just don't lift the weight once. You don't do the stretch once. You need to do it multiple times. And as you shoot for 3, maybe 3 every time you go to a meeting, and then it will come more naturally to you. It'll be more comfortable. And then people will recognize you and welcome you. And who doesn't want to go somewhere where everybody knows their name and they're always glad they came?
I got you.
Shoot for 3.
I get it. Hey, so we're going to take a little break. Before we go, if you have questions, 877-772-9658 or email vinoradio@gmail.com. And we will be back to talk about how to introduce yourself. We are back with Robert Mohan. He has given us great information on how to properly benefit with your RIA that you're going to be involved with meetings, meeting people. One thing, Robert, is that when I go, I would like, if when I meet people, I want them to remember me. So what's the right way to introduce yourself so people remember you?
The key elements: smile, handshake, and say what you like. I'll demonstrate it. Hello, I'm Robert. I love buying cash flow rental properties. Now, it's the radio. You can't see me smile, but you could hear me smile, couldn't you? Hello, I'm Robert. It's upbeat, it's uptone. Of course that conveys in person when you're meeting someone. Be ready for a decent handshake. I'm not saying it has to be firm, but certainly not the dead fish. And maybe if you're not comfortable with a handshake, that's fine. Great big smile. Who you are, what you like with real estate. Because you may not remember my name, but you'll remember I like cash flowing rentals. That might stick. So definitely include what you like when you say that.
So a lot of the time, I see people, they want to sit in the back, and they leave early. It just seems like such a missed opportunity.
Total missed opportunity. You missed out on the community. I said earlier, some of the best meetings and information and education I've gotten when I go to conferences or any meeting is the meeting after the meeting. Come early to these things and stay late. That's pretty good advice for anything where you're trying to get some value out of it. If you don't allow yourself to have that open mind and then have the time to be there, you're not going to get the most out of it. Think about some kind of a game. If you don't have time on the field, you're not going to play. You're not going to get the most out of it. You got to show up. You can't leave early. That you're just shortchanging yourself.
So we're done with the meeting. I go home. I've met people. What's the cost? A lot of people don't follow up. So what's the cost of not following up after meeting all these people?
Mm-hmm. Lost opportunities. Less friends and less helpers when you're in a jam. If you can engage with folks and get to know a few folks and what they're interested in, and that adds up over time as you come to meetings, and just meet 2 or 3, not 100, you'll remember, oh, Scott knows about that certain topic. I have a problem with that certain topic. I'm going to go to the meeting next Tuesday, and I'm going to spend time. I'm going to seek Scott out and ask him that question, because Scott and I had a great first meeting last month when I came. I bet Scott will know that answer. Why not? In fact, another benefit of that is I could come to you and I could say, Scott, who else should I meet? because I can tell Scott's connected at the meeting. Scott, won't you tell me who else I might ought to meet? You're going to give me at least one other name and introduce me to somebody else. Why not? So leaving early, not following up, you're losing out.
All right. So how about visibility? So how does visibility inside AREA translate into actual deals that I can actually profit from?
If people see you being helpful and consistent, smile, have a good attitude, they will begin to get to know you just by default, just being around. If you're pleasant, they'll like you. And with time, they'll trust you. So the consistent message there is know you, like you, trust you. Be around, be visible, be pleasant, and just allow time to happen. And it'll work. It's magic.
All right. So what do you think the biggest difference you see between sort of the passive member and the ones who are active?
Passive members, in my experience over 20 years of having watched this, they tend to not be successful. Now, passive means not necessarily engaged. I also see that they tend to, you may call it the shiny object syndrome, they tend to hop from one thing to another. I've also seen the passive people sometimes come and go. They'll be here for a little bit, or they'll come one night because the topic looked interesting to them that night, and then we won't see them for a while until the next hot topic, interesting thing. So passive members just tend to not be as successful in my experience.
No, I think I see the same thing. How can new investors, so you're new, you don't think you can really do a lot, but how can they add value before they've done their first deal?
That's a fantastic question. And the answer is ask for help and offer help. Very simple. Again, that open mind. Ask for help, offer help. And you're not sure maybe that you can offer help if you're new, but I will tell you everyone has something to offer. Maybe you have no money, but you have time. Maybe you have no time, but you have money. Maybe you're great at some kind of a skill like landscaping or bookkeeping or staging, or maybe you have a lot of contacts and you can help others who need landscaping, bookkeeping, staging. People have more time, more money. But ask yourself what you're good at. How could you help someone else? I think we forget that planning ahead a little bit and asking what value can I bring, it's a huge, huge benefit to you when you'll do that in advance. And don't sell yourself short. Everybody has something to offer.
That is so true. I see that all the time because we don't know what those other people have. And we need to know, because I've seen it time and time again with those interactions where somebody doesn't think they have anything, and sure enough, they've helped me, and in turn, I can help them. So it's great. So why is consistency more important than occasional attendance? Because sometimes you'll have folks who they just, you know, they come this month, they don't show up for 2 months. How important is that consistency?
It's exceptionally important. Think about it. If I very rarely see you, am I going to remember who you are? Think about it. If you rarely see me, you're not even going to remember my name. You won't remember I like cash flowing rentals or whatever I said after 2 months because you've met other people since then. Think about how you are with others. You may not remember people 10 minutes after you met them. Well, again, the repetitions, like the exercise I gave the example of earlier. Think about if you showed up for work once in a while versus every day. That's a big deal now with people coming in the office or not. It's now documented that if you don't come in the office very often and one of your equal level colleagues does, they're more likely to get a promotion and be viewed more favorably in the boss's eyes, because familiarity breeds that contentment and relationship. You can't just not show up and expect magic to happen. If I see you very rarely, I will forget who you are.
So one of the things that people can do with the RIA, because most of the RIAs are volunteer organizations. And so what role does that volunteering or serving play in helping someone accelerate their business?
It blows it up. That is one of the best secrets, and it's not that secret, but people just don't do it. I guess that's what makes it a secret. When I first came on the scene years ago to my group, I found out just by watching who appeared to be connected. And I asked that question that I referenced earlier when I would meet someone, hey, who else should I meet? Oh, you need to go over here and meet this guy, John. That's his real name. So I met John and I said, John, we did the intro. I like this. I'm interested in that. At that point, I didn't know what I was interested in. I was super new. And I said, John, have you been around a while? He said, yes. Well, John, if I want to be successful, what do you recommend? And he said some other things. And I said, okay, well, I can easily do that. Is there anything else? And then here it came. Volunteer. I said, what do you mean? He said, if you volunteer and show up, you're going to build fast relationships. Because, again, you're around people over and over. They begin to know you, like you, and trust you. And so I kept showing up and offering to help. And sometimes it was trash that needed to be picked up. We were a guest in a space, and at the end of the night, people left trash around, cups and bottles and things. I would go around and pick up trash. Let me tell you, that was memorable because no one volunteers to pick up trash.
Yeah,
if you're willing to be a servant and pick up the trash, you might be willing to do other stuff that's more glamorous. Not that there's anything wrong with picking up trash, but I usually don't have anybody fight me over the job of picking up the trash.
I would agree with that.
I think it just shows an open mind. But volunteering is a great tool to build relationships and be successful.
And it's a way to give back. I mean, you picked up how much knowledge and value out of your involvement with RIA, and to be able to give that back to the people who are just starting out or the ones that have been around for a while.
And people would notice that and they would come up and talk to me and say, hey, I see you volunteering around here. What is your interest in real estate? And it led to other conversations, which became more and more pivotal to my success over time. So today it's picking up trash. Tomorrow it's making a contact that led to a deal, a potential joint venture relationship, or a lending opportunity, or just finding out about a deal that no one said anything about until the end of the meeting when there were just a few of us left. Don't miss that opportunity.
With volunteering, how does someone go about getting the opportunity to volunteer? Who do they go see at the RIA? What process do they run through to try to get an opportunity to volunteer?
I would ask at the registration check-in table, hey, I'm interested and willing in being a volunteer. Who do I need to talk to? They'll point you to that person.
All right.
Very easy to do.
Good. So, again, the phone number, 877-772-9658, or vinoradio@gmail.com. I also wanted to point out two events that are going on with Cincinnati RIA, who puts on this radio show. RIA's on Thursday. The live meeting's on Thursday. You can go to CincinnatiRIA.com. And there's a free Driving for Dollars challenge tonight on Zoom. So go to, again, CincinnatiRIA.com. Get all the information. We will return to talk more with Robert. And we are back with Robert Mohan, the executive director at the Real Estate Investors of Nashville. Like it, Nashville. It's a little further south, a little better weather. Just as a reminder, 877-772-9658. We do have, Robert, an email, two email questions from Molly in Atlanta. It sounds like you have to be an extrovert to get anything out of a real estate association. I'm not one, so where can I go to get connections?
That's an excellent question. It's been said that half the population is extroverts and half is introverts. Well, the great news about real estate investor associations, or what we call RIAs, is we know this. And some of the best investors I know are introverts. If you're an introvert and coming around a large group of people scares you, well, you need to get over that, because that can be a magical opportunity for you. Now, I didn't say you had to come and meet 28 people, did I? I said, shoot for three. Shoot for three. And if three is too many, shoot for two. And if you happen to be super timid, well, just come in and speak to the check-in person. Meet and greet them. And then if you need to go sit down and just see out the lay of the land and how it is there, then go sit at a table and sit by yourself. That's fine. But keep showing up and being consistent. Someone will see you over and over and probably come and talk to you. And you'll find out they're not going to bite. They're not going to hurt you. And it might be a new friend. In fact, it might be another introvert. Wouldn't that be cool?
Could be.
So don't let a large group setting concern you, because there are pockets of these rooms, the hallway, outside at the eating table area. There are places where you can just be in a very small group and not be inundated. And certainly you're not going to be put on the front of the room and on a stage and asked to tell a story or whatever. Otherwise be embarrassed or put out in front of everybody. Not at all. Not at all. We welcome introverts. We expect introverts. And we find there's some awesome investors. Come on, introverts.
All right. I know some introverts that are awesome investors. That is the total truth. All right, so the second question she has is, I'm not sure every association is like what you're describing. I've been in a couple where I felt like a minnow walking into a bathtub full of sharks. It seemed like everyone just wanted something. No one seemed interested in helping anyone else. What do you say to that?
I've been to those meetings. I know exactly what you're talking about. I know how you feel. I felt that same way. And I found that if I continue to look, maybe just pull back a little bit, pretend I'm an introvert. I'm not, unless I want to be, and I can very much replicate an introvert behavior. I might sit at a table and just watch what goes on. Take 10 or 15 minutes and survey the situation. I found out not everyone is that way at those meetings. The ones that are that way and came right up to you, maybe they happen to be extroverted. Maybe that's just who they are. Takers is what I would call them. But if you'll give yourself a moment of pause and watch, you will find there are others there, and that may be your tribe. You can find a tribe in any of these groups of people that will like you and support you and help you along the journey. Don't let a few bad apples spoil a bunch for you. Give it another try. I think you'll find it's a good thing.
I agree with you. All right. So, vendor members. Vendors are a key resource at these associations. So how can a member use vendor relationships more strategically in their investing career?
Vendors are businesses that are there to deliver goods, services that we need to be successful as investors. It could be roofers, it could be handymen, it could be contractors, it could be cost estimators, it could be insurance people. It could be adjusters. That's one of your best tools in your tool belt, is knowing an insurance adjuster. Cabinet people. All these folks are there because they need us as badly as we need them. We are their customers. And not only do they have a lot of knowledge that we should take advantage of, but they have contacts. They have expertise. So if I know a roofing guy that comes to my RIA meeting consistently, and I have a roof question, hey, the shingles, part of the roof, some of that on the edges is sticking up. And they might could show me a picture on their phone and go, hey, does it look like this? Because they're in that business every day. Yeah, he said, that's called a tab. And when it curls up, that means you've got about 2 or 3 years of life left on it. Wow, that was great. I thought when it started turning up, I immediately needed to spend thousands of dollars. And he said, hey, I'm willing to come and take a look at it for free, no obligation. I'm not going to try to sell your roof. Because he knew every month I'd been showing up. He's seen me because they're there to meet us. And they will treat you right because they're there every month and looking for customers and good word of mouth. Remember, they need us as badly as we need them. So you're going to get good word of mouth. You're going to get good service. Because if not, word will spread. So the vendors have that great expertise and knowledge and contact. So if they can't help me with that roof, let's say, maybe it's a gutter issue or something else, they might know a gutter person. It's a great gold mine to come to the real estate meeting and build your team through the different contacts you'll meet there.
What do you think the biggest mindset shift someone really needs to make to get real value from their RIA?
It's a great question. Be willing to ask for help and be willing to offer help. Really, it's that simple. Real estate investing is a team sport. Let's be frank. A lot of businesses are. A lot of industries are a team sport. Be willing to ask for help and be willing to offer help. You have certain expertise, no matter who you are listing. You have some value you can bring to the table, to a new friend, a new relationship, someone you just met. You have knowledge, skill, experience. People you meet also have that. You just have to show up and engage.
All right. So let's talk money. Money's a good topic, especially when you, a lot of times when you're investing, you, especially in the beginning, you definitely need money. I think throughout your career, you need money. But how do private money relationships often begin inside an association?
That's a great question. My experience is this. I met early on someone that, not at first, but privately, quietly admitted to me that he loaned money to other investors. And I said, really? He said, yeah, but don't tell that around the group. I said, well, why would you not want to have more customers? Why would you not want to loan to everybody? He says, well, I don't want everybody coming up to me. I don't know them. I don't know their ethics. I may not like them. I may not can trust them. What? He said, yeah, if I know you and I like you and I trust you, I'm far more likely to loan you money on a good deal that you have. I said, really, that's it? He said, no, of course I do due diligence on the deal. I look at what it's worth, and I look at what repairs you're going to do. I look at your experience. And he went through some more due diligence questions. But those private money relationships definitely begin inside a RIA meeting, but they begin often by the person who loans money observing you from afar, and you may not even know it. I mentioned earlier about volunteering. I think that's why he came and talked to me, because I was picking up the trash. And he thought, well, this must be an okay guy. And it turns out we still work together all these years later after that first conversation. It turned into be a good long-term relationship.
Yeah, I've seen that time and time again when, you know, I've over time at my RIA, I come consistently month after month after month. I engage in conversation. I may not have anything to transact today, but they get to know you. They find out about what you're doing. And then sure enough, when I need to borrow money or I need money for a deal, you're exactly right. They still do due diligence. They still want their collateral. But a lot of them, I have found, they lend because they're lending to Scott or to Robert. It's not just about the deal, because you're just not gonna have that. And so important to build those relationships continually at your RIA.
Yeah, it's all about your integrity, and that will come out as people observe you over time. I know we've had people show up at meetings I've seen, and they'll come and go, I want to borrow money, and nobody knows who they are. Interestingly, they leave empty-handed because nobody knows who they are. You can't just come in once and, oh, I got this great deal, and expect magic to happen as far as a lending relationship. Those relationships take a little bit of time, that's for sure.
What is the danger, you sort of alluded to, what is the danger of only showing up when you need something?
You smell like a taker. That's what I would say. Everything is all about you. What can you do for me? I've got a great XYZ and I need you to participate in it. Whether it's I need you to buy my wholesale deal, or I need you to fund my deal, or I need you to JV with me. I need you to do something for me. You smell like a taker. If you only show up when you've got something, it's all about you. And when things go bad, are you going to be around? Maybe not. If you're inconsistent and you only show up when you need something, I don't know where you're going to be. Sometimes stuff goes wrong. Sometimes renovations don't happen as quickly as possible. Sometimes you need a little more time on something. Maybe a tenant moved out and you have a longer time until you can get the house repaired and put back into service. Things happen.
Sure.
You're inconsistent with your behavior on showing up. You're probably inconsistent with your behavior other places too.
Totally get it. So let's say I've been invisible for years. How can I rebuild my reputation if I've been invisible for years? So to sort of get my that out there.
I can think of two people right now that I know personally, and that's exactly what their case was. They were invisible for years. They would come into the meeting once in a while, maybe once every 6, 9, 12 months, very infrequently. Now they show up at every single meeting. They are both consistent. They come early. They stay all the way till the end. They actually stay after. They have business cards and they hand them out. They are acting and behaving like they're trying to do business. They're trying to work with people. They're trying to build relationships and build that trust. And it's working. And now one of them has already been on a panel at our meeting, and folks came up to them that they didn't know and just raised their visibility. It was a great opportunity for them to become visible after being invisible and not even connected to the group for so many years. It's a great question.
Great. All right, we are going to take a quick break. Reminder, 877-772-9658 and vinaradio@gmail.com for questions. We will return with Robert in a few minutes. We are back. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate. I'm Scott Ellsworth, your host. And my guest is Robert Mohan with Real Estate Investors of Nashville. He is a trove of knowledge. He's the executive director, and he really knows how to use a RIA for the maximum value. Let's talk about after the meeting. Let's talk about, do you have any practical follow-up system that you'd recommend for anybody after that meeting?
Yes. In fact, let me set the stage with the questions I ask when I first meet people, because I think the follow-up begins with the first meeting. I have gone to other groups where I did not know anybody, and I will go up and say, hey, I'm Robert. I'm interested in cash flow rentals. What is your interest in real estate? Of course, I do not say it that slowly. I'll smile. What is your interest in real estate? And then I try to keep that in my head until I can get their business card. There is a saying about business cards. You need to have a business card you can hand out. It's not because you need to get your card out. It's so you can get their card. That's where the follow-up starts. I have business cards with me, and I hand them out because it is my reason for you to reciprocate and give me yours. And then, whether in front of them or as soon as I walk away from them, it doesn't matter. People don't care anymore if you make notes. Write on the card. I put where I met them and the date. and what their interest was. Rentals, notes, loans, commercial, apartments, which I can abbreviate APTS. Whatever it is, I put it on there. And if there was something we had in common, kids go to elementary school together, I might put that on there too. Now, I've gotten the cards, and I understand some people want to use the tap thing. What I would say to that is, once we share contact info through the phone, there is no way for me to ever find it again.
Right.
I won't even know. A year from now, I'll go through and look. I don't even know who that is. I'll delete you. But if I have a card, I take that card, and if I feel like that conversation produced nothing good, I'll set it aside. But I feel like there may be something good that may come out of that. Well, yes, I will follow up. In fact, with a handwritten note, I have a one-third sheet piece of paper that has my face on it, a picture of me, and a little bit about what I do, six or seven words, and I will handwrite a thank you note in blue ink and mail it to, literally, the mail.
That is
remember
awesome.
That? Stamps, yep, 78 cents or whatever they are?
Yep.
No one does that.
No, they don't.
No one does it, but it's an impression. And I usually will include my business card in there too. And then I'll see what happens. So that card goes into a different pile because I don't want to lose that card.
Right.
So my follow-up, if I think nothing will happen, I'll set it aside maybe for 30 days, a couple of weeks. And if nothing really comes out of that, then I may discard it. Or actually, I put it in my tax file for receipts to show I met some people. If I ever need to say, who have you met in your real estate business? Well, here's a stack of cards of people I met. Here's when I met them, and here's what we talked about. It's good evidence for showing you came to the RIA meeting to try to do business.
So, you know, this whole session has been about what are the good things to do in a RIA and what are the things that you're not going to get that value. So how have you seen investors transform their business simply by changing how they participate?
Yes, I've seen investors transform their business, and it was me. I also can think of two others, now that you've asked that question. Two guys I can think of right now. I know they have been investing for years because I've seen them off and on for the 20 years I've been around. They have come to the RIA meetings every now and then. But I will tell you, I could not remember their names. In fact, one of them texted me out of the blue, and I didn't even know who he was. He had to tell me who he was, and I still didn't know who he was. I'd ask someone else because he wasn't around enough for me to know him, no matter how hard I tried. Then they both turned it around. Literally, they both have been to every meeting for the last year. Now, they went from, I can't remember their names, to they all have people around them every month. Whenever I go over to greet them and say hello, there's two, three, four people around them asking them questions. They interact with other folks. They're asking for help. They're offering help. They're engaging with the community. And people actually seek them out for help.
That's
now,
awesome.
In my role at my group, as a super volunteer, you might say, or a sucker volunteer, I don't know which it is. But I very much volunteer. I have high visibility. People will come to me and ask, who do you know that does something? And I'll send them to these two guys when it's appropriate. Individually, they each do different things. So people will come to me and ask for help. And they also directly will come in and say, they'll name them. Say, where are these people? I need to talk to them. I've heard they're fantastic. And they are. And so I will go point people to them because people seek them out for help. For answers to their questions. Both of them now have been on panels in front of our room at meetings, so that also raised their visibility and their credibility in the group even more, all from them changing their mindset and turning around their engagement.
If you could give, we have about 5 minutes, if you could give members one rule, just one rule to follow, at their next RIA meeting, what would it be?
Four words. Come early, stay late. Come to the meeting early, stay late after it's over. And do it every time. No matter what the topic is, no matter who you think will be there, consider this. Let's say it's wholesaling. and you have no interest in wholesaling, but that's the topic. Well, who's going to show up, Scott, at that meeting? People who want to hear about what? Wholesaling, right?
Right.
People who want to sell deals to wholesalers, people who want to learn about wholesalers, people who want to loan money to wholesalers. Are those people valuable to you and I, even though we may not be individually interested in wholesaling?
Yeah, because they find the deals.
Yes. And when I figured that out, I realized I definitely want to show up at that meeting because I came away with a deal to go look at, and I got so excited I went out that night in the dark and looked at it. Now, I've actually done that multiple times. One of the values of coming early and staying late. You're not expected at home too early. Well, you go look at deals in the middle of the night in the dark. Of course, be careful about that.
Your equipment is just flashlights, right? Flashlights.
Big, bright flashlight, exactly. So no matter who you think is going to be there, there's always somebody there that's got some sort of value. You just have to go and dig it up, unearth it, but talk to people. So if you want to get the maximum value from your community, I would also say, you must give to get. I think we've all heard that before. You must give to get. Well, what is that here? It's easy. Your contribution, you have to show up physically and mentally. Be engaged. Stay off your phone. If you have your eyes down on a phone, no one's going to come and engage with you. Think about it.
Yeah.
If your eyes are up, you see other people, they see you, especially if you have a pleasant face. I'm not saying you got to have a cheesy smile grin on your face all the time.
Right.
You've been, you know, eating something. But be pleasant and be engaged. Look like you're welcoming. And people will come and talk with you. People will come and say hello. They may sit by you. Who knows? You may overhear a conversation. One of the other things I do, too, is I will tell new people, especially if I hear, oh, they look like they're in a heavy conversation. Oh, no, they're not. I don't even know what they're talking about, but I can assure you they're not in a heavy conversation, because if they were, they'd be off by themselves where you can't see them.
Right.
When you come to these meetings, you intentionally have a conversation out in the open where other people can come up and interrupt or stand there and listen in. Some of the best things I've gotten, well, even now, but definitely when I was new, was coming up and listening to the conversations other people were having. And if you're a little concerned about that, say, hey, do you mind if I stand here and listen? No, come on. I'm Robert. What's your interest in real estate? Just show up and listen.
That's awesome.
You don't have to say anything. You don't have to chime in. Just listen. Learn. Magic. The RIA is one of the most powerful things a real estate investor can ever participate in.
Well,
don't,
Robert,
miss out on your opportunity.
Robert, appreciate you being on the program tonight. I want to remind everybody about that Cincinnati RIA has their Thursday meeting live, and tonight a Driving for Dollars challenge, and you can go to CincinnatiRIA.com. So again, Robert, I thank you so much for all the information you shared. Hopefully everyone will take that away and they will build their business and they will get more value out of the RIA. So you have been listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Until next time, remember, where others just see property, we see possibility. Keep investing smart.